10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needs something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
Second hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Jadeveon Clowney will speak to the media today. We'll have some of that in just a little bit. Stay tuned for that. High noon, silly underdog picks. We're excited about that. Right now, we talk with the GM. He is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, Floyd Reese. Floyd, what's going on?
Speaking of silly underdogs.
Yeah,
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We're excited about the NFL season beginning tonight, and it's going to be interesting to see how the Chiefs follow up this season after, you know, being the Super Bowl champs, and what a lot of pressure on the Texans and Bill O'Brien, not as a coach but as a GM, when you trade away your star receiver and you get David Johnson, and they've been nothing but ridiculed and bashed in the offseason, but they've been kind of the team to beat in the division. You do wonder, will that sink them, or will they be able to rise to the top yet again?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think it's going to be – tonight is going to be interesting on so many different levels. You know, we've been so long without football, so, you know, finally the NFL fan and us all can maybe exhale a little bit. You know, kind of we've been holding our breath for so long. And now we see it on the horizon, in fact, a few hours away. So that part of it is really good. I think the second part is, of course, you know, we're going into a season with less knowledge about any of the teams than we've ever had. And, you know, there's going to be, you figure on each and every roster, there's going to be anywhere from, you know, maybe 5 to 20 players that you've probably never heard of. You know, that are going to be playing, covering kicks and covering punts and doing some things like that. So, there's an awful lot up in the air. I'm not sure I expect some really, really, you know, finely tuned precision type football as much as I'm kind of expecting, you know, to go out there and it's like a gunfight. Everybody's going to be pulling their gun and shooting. Now, are they going to be able to hit the target? That's going to be another question.
We talked yesterday about Jadeveon Clowney, like how many snaps should he take on Monday night. He got to Seattle last year just in over a week's worth of time. Honestly, it's going to be about the same time frame. And he played in 46 snaps in their first game of the season against Cincinnati. How would you approach that if you were the general manager? If you had pulled the trigger and signed Clowney in the same time frame that the Titans did, and he's coming in right away, and he's got very little time to prepare, and you've got a big game in Denver to kick off your season. How would you approach it if you were GM?
I don't think you could do it any other way than to be very cautious. You just don't know where he's been. I think when you go through the process and you know you're going to be taking trips, and you know you're going to be visiting with coaches and maybe then working out in some spots, you know, I'm wondering if you don't keep yourself maybe in a little bit better shape. You know, he's been since whatever it is, March, without doing anything officially. And, you know, is he the type of guy that's going to keep himself in shape? You know, that's another one of those questions we don't know. But I think, like the process, we're relying so very much on Mike Vrabel and the other coaches that have worked with him that, you know, they're steering us correctly and, you know, giving us what they know. And what they know is that they think he's going to be in some kind of shape to come in and play. Now, how much, how long, you know, the weather's going to be cool, it looks like, and that's going to be good. You're going to be in Denver. Maybe that's not as good. So, it's going to be a little nip and tuck for both he, you know, and Beasley. You know, guys like that we just don't know a great deal about yet.
Floyd Reese on the line with us can be heard every day here on these airwaves, 2 to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. You were very outspoken and pretty vocal, at least the times I was listening, on the kicking situation with this Titans roster. You said you'd go out and get Stephen Kuskowski. That, of course, played out. Let's just start with first, why were you so vocal? What did you not like with the two guys they had in camp?
You know, I think the unproven commodity, the thing you just don't know, and I think if history has told us anything with young kickers or kickers that have not had that kind of experience, that even if they end up being okay, they go through some growing pains. You know, they go through some issues. And unlike last year, you know, we made it to the AFC Championship game and didn't kick a field goal for like 8 weeks or something. You know,
it's amazing. I know
that's never ever going to happen again. And we're going to be playing enough close games, especially early here, that a kicker with some kind of a track record, something you can rely on, is going to be really, really important to Vrabel and the coaches. You know, to help them make the correct decision, because, you know, you can't, you go in expecting to make a 40-yarder and, you know, you don't. Well, that's one thing, but you go in with a 50 or 55-yarder and you say, oh, golly, this guy's, you know, just, that's going to be a real struggle. Well, that changes your mind on what you may do on a 4th-and-2 or a 4th-and-1.
Let's go back to whenever you had Rob Baronis in camp, and you had the German kicker that everybody thought was, I think his name was David Hasselhoff. I think I just made that up. But it was some German kicker that you had in there that everybody thought was kind of the, you know, the leading candidate. And it was Rob Baronis who beat him out. Here's this guy nobody's ever heard of that came from the Arena League. I think that was in, what, 2005. Take us through that camp, and how did you guys come to the decision that it was Rob that you're going to take a flyer and go into the 05 season with a guy nobody's ever heard of that used to play for the New York Dragons in the Arena League? How did you come to that conclusion?
Yeah, sheer luck. I mean, there's no doubt about that. I think we felt like, and rightly or wrongly, you know, along the same lines of the young kickers that come in and kind of find their way, you know, historically, the pattern for kickers is if they're going to find a way to make it in the league, they're going to be through 2, 3, 4 teams. You know, they're going to give it a try, and then they're going to get beat up and get fired and give it another try, and they bounce around and bounce around. And Rob had been through that. And we felt like he had finally gotten to a point where he understood the stress. He understood the impact of the job and the things that he was going to be expected to do. Rob had never really been given a chance where he felt confident in himself or felt that others had confidence in him. And I think we had seen enough. You know, the one thing about the old Arena League is if you can kick in the Arena League, you've got a much better chance kicking in the NFL. You know, those real tight goalposts are not easy to kick through, and he had been through a lot of that, and I think we just kind of felt like, okay, we're going to bring this kid in, we're going to tell him it's his job, we're going to try to make him feel as confident as he can, and hope that he can go out there and make a few. You know, he had really good kicking form, he had a strong leg, he had all of that. He had just never been in a position where he was able to really latch onto a job and say, this is mine. And I think one of the more important things we did with him was say, okay, you know, this is yours. We're not bringing anybody else in. You just go out there and kick the way that we know you can kick, and everybody's going to be happy. And it worked for a while.
We're talking to Floyd Reese, longtime general manager of the Tennessee Titans. You can hear him every afternoon on Jared and the GM starting at 2 o'clock. And, Floyd, one of the lessons I learned over the years talking to you every week and then being on the show with you is you used to say, listen, if your roster is such that you've got holes all over it and you're trying to plug 3 or 4 positions with free agency, you're in trouble. But if you've got one hole and that's where you want to go with your free agent money, then that's maybe doable. So we look at the individual investment on Clowney and Vic Beasley, and you're like, oh boy, they spent a lot of money on guys where you're not really sure what you're getting. But that's a lot of money to concentrate, but it is on one spot. They knew that they needed help in that area, and so I guess it's throwing some money at, and it's a one-year investment, so you're not out too much long-term. But I think it's an interesting philosophy by John Robinson, taking a little chance, but spending some good money on an area that needed some help.
And I think they went out, like you said, Willie, and concentrated on one area. And we've talked on the show before, you know, January, February, early in the year, or maybe the day after we lost Kansas City in the championship game, you know, we said, okay, what do you have to do to be better next year? And I think everybody would have said at least three things, which was, you know, you got to get the quarterback back, you got to get the running back back, and you got to get pass rush. And I think that when you look at what they're, you know, they got the quarterback, they got the running back, that's obvious. And then they turned and addressed what they think is pass rush help. And we've talked about Clowney and his 3.5 sacks, and we all know where that is. But, you know, he had, when he was with Vrabel, he had 9, I think. And Beasley has had, you know, I think he had 15 in a season. Well, you know, if you even approach that, if you even, you know, if you were able to get 18 or 20 sacks out of these two guys, that would be phenomenal. And what kind of a difference would that make on your team? It might be truly dramatic. Now, am I expecting that? I don't think I can say that. But, you know that it is out there. You know that you've seen them do those things. And so even though, you know, everybody says correctly, hope is not a strategy, you know, you're kind of hoping that they can approach those numbers. And if they do, what kind of an impact can that have, not only on your defense, but on your entire team?
So let's put the pass rush aside right now. What is, as you look at their roster, what's their biggest weakness in your mind? What's your biggest concern going in?
You know, I worry about depth at running back, only because I think it's another area we just don't know much about. I mean, the young rookie running back may be the real deal, but, you know, none of us can say that. I worry about a little bit of depth at corner, depending on the young guy. If the young guy can play, then, you know, you're going to have at least some depth and a lot more speed, which is going to be important. And I worry a little bit about depth at middle linebacker, you know, for quality players, for some, because we've got two guys in there now, you know, between Evans and Brown that we feel really, really good about. And as long as they're playing and playing the way they have played, I think you feel like, okay, we're pretty solid there. You know, who's behind them and what can you expect there? And there's really not a great deal of information about those guys, you know, not much that we truly know. So I worry about that a little bit. But, you know, other than that, I think it's a matter of guys stepping in and doing what you're expecting them to do. You know, it's like we talk about with the receivers. Davis jumps out and has, you know, the best season of his career, which is not outrageous to think that. You know, and we're not talking about 110 receptions. You know, we're talking about, hey, go out there and have the best year of your career. Get 75 passes. If you take the slot, you say, okay, we're going to run the slot out there. We've seen him catch 65 passes. So you know that it's in him. Now can we get him to catch 65 again? You know, A.J. goes back out and has another great year. Janu, for whatever reason, Janu, you know, gets himself in a position where he goes out and catches 45 or 50 passes, which I don't think is outrageous. You know, it would be a great year for him, but it's not like you're talking crazy. You know, you start getting things like that happening, and then all of a sudden you're going, wow, you know what, we throw the ball pretty well. And you become one of those teams that maybe you take another step forward.
We're talking to Floyd Reese, the former GM of the Tennessee Titans, and of course, Jared and the GM 2-6 weekdays. So, Floyd, you brought up those young guys, and where I was going to go with it, you know, you put your coaching hat on from your coaching days. usually you'd have preseason games that you could play through. You would have had all the OTAs, but they haven't had a lot of the learning time that a rookie would usually have in a season. So when you're having the conversations, whether it's on the sideline during the game or if you're in the booth and over a headset, are you just making it as simple as it possibly can be not to overwhelm them in their first game? Or do you have to go, hey, this is the NFL, so you're going to have to grow up maybe a little faster than you thought, and you just have to hit it like you normally would?
Well, I think if you go in there, and one of the good things, one of the maybe the real advantages when we look at long term that the Titans may have is that they do have experience. You know, you look at the offense, and you have no new starters. You know, everybody, you could literally run a game plan that maybe you ran last year, and everybody on that team would have an idea what to do. If the defense stays the same, and we're assuming the defense is going to stay pretty much the same, you could probably do the same thing, you know, except for Beasley and Clowney. But if you had to go in with Landry and Correa, you know, you could run the game plan you ran against Baltimore and still be okay. When those young guys get in there, whenever they do and at whatever spot they do, I think you do have to be smart, Chase. I think you're exactly right. I think you have to be, you know, here's a play that we've only run three times in camp. Let's call that. And you go, whoa, whoa, wait a minute now. You know, Reese is in there, and Reese has never run that play. And you know what? We need to be sure that we can run something that big dummy can run. And so, you know, you maybe take a step back and say, okay, here's a play that he's run 25 times. Okay, let's let him run that. And I think you're probably going to have to be smart for a minute, because truth is, you don't know what you have with those guys. And we've said this before, and we all know this. You know, you watch a guy in practice, and he may light it up, look like the best player on the field. You get in a game, you can't find him. And the opposite of that is true, too. You know, some guy in practice that doesn't do anything to impress you, all of a sudden gets into a game, and for whatever reason, when he puts the silks on, he thinks he's, you know, Hall of Fame material. And we're going to have maybe a little bit of both of those, you know, situations. And so I think, you know, you're going to have to be smart with everything you do and however it works out, whoever's in the game, whatever the situation is. You know, the situation football that they've been so good at for so many years, I think, you know, there's a possibility there's going to be a young guy in there that maybe hasn't been through that situation. And it's fourth and one, and there's, you know, 30 seconds left on the clock, and we have to be able to do these two or three things. Well, he may not be, you know, coached up in those areas as much as you'd like.
Floyd, whenever you read through predictions and all of that, a lot of folks will go to the roster, and they'll go, well, this roster is better than this roster. They acquired this player, and that's what we all do. But when I look at this division, and one team in particular outside of the Titans, it's the Colts. Yes, I like the moves that they made, but I also really like Frank Reich. I think that Frank Reich has come in there and established himself as the head coach. He's well-respected as a play caller. You've obviously known him from when he was a player, but why do you think it's worked out so well with that organization with Frank Reich?
I just hate that guy, you know?
I know.
But you're right. I mean, they have done a great job. They really have. And I think, I think when I look at, for example, their schedule, I am scared to death that they are going to get on an early run and that people may not be able to catch them. You know, because I look at a bunch of their early games, and they've got a chance to win a whole slew of games in a row. And you know how it is when a team gets on a roll like that, and they start feeling good about themselves, and all of a sudden they're playing twice as good as even, like you said, their roster made you think they could play. I think that's particularly scary with me, with a guy like Rivers, you know, because I think he's going to be in a different situation than he has been. He's not going to have to go out and throw the ball 45 times for them to have a chance to win. They're going to have a running game. They're going to be able to play defense. Their offensive line is going to be able to protect him. So now, you know, you take the guy that you were forcing to throw 45 times a game and you say, you know what, all you have to do is go out there and throw about 30 times now. We're going to run play action, and we're going to protect you really, really well. You know, take your time, make the right choices, you know, be accurate with the ball, all of those kinds of things. And I think Rivers can easily do that. And like I said before, all of a sudden they start feeling really, really good about themselves. And they're, you know, there might be such a thing. They're sitting there at a point in time and, you know, they've won 8 in a row or something. And you're sitting here trying to go 4-4. You know, maybe you can't catch up from that.
He is the GM, Floyd Reese. Hey, Floyd, we appreciate it as always, and we'll talk to you next week.
Anytime, guys. Thanks.
He'll be on 2 to 6 today with Jared Stillman. Jared and the GM, and joins us every Thursday at 11 here on Darren Donick and Chase on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily, and the best part, guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino, the social casino. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.